Hematospermia. Rusty pipes. Marvin, a retired accountant, aged 67, found blood on his pyjamas one morning, just a few days after his wife reported blood in her vaginal discharge after having intercourse. A methodical man, Martin determined who was doing the bleeding. Through masturbation he found himself responsible. His seminal fluid contained specks about the size and colour of coffee grounds. After this he came to me. He had no pain, no blood in his urine, no other symptoms of hyperplasia. A complete urologic examination was normal. I told him not to worry and come back in a year. Bloody cum, evidence of blood in ejaculate, is an alarming discovery for any man. The alarm can be compounded if his partner also finds blood coming from her body after intercourse. What's happening usually is nothing worse than an inflammation of the prostate gland or seminal vesicles, which leaves traces of blood in semen. Or it could be that the excitement of intercourse and the fervour of ejaculation caused the eruption of a small blood vessel in one person or the other. The way to determine which person is bleeding is to do what Marvin did, masturbate and see. Signs in the ejaculate usually appear in one of two shades, dark specks that resemble coffee grounds, or bright red stains. It is unusual for cancer to cause such bleeding, although bloody cum is most likely to occur at a time of maximum vulnerability to cancers of the prostate and bladder. Cancer of the prostate. Serious business. Ralph, a 66-year-old businessman, told his internist during a routine physical that he had had to get up once or twice every night to urinate. He mentioned that drinking coffee or tea after dinner made nature's demands worse, so he quit. But for all the urgency, Ralph said his urine stream had slowed down in the past few years. On examination, his internist felt a nodule in his prostate, but other than that, Ralph was completely healthy. He had no indications of infection, bleeding or backache, and his blood tests were normal. After he was referred to me, a prostate-specific antigen, PSA test, revealed an elevated level of 8.0, and a digital rectal examination confirmed the presence of a small nodule on the right side of his prostate, which his primary physician had discovered. Ultrasound scanning and biopsy of this nodule, as well as of other parts of his prostate, confirmed the diagnosis of cancer of the prostate, a low-grade Gleason grade 2-2 cancer. I performed a radical prostatectomy, which meant that I removed the entire prostate along with the seminal vesicles that lead to it, and reconnected the urethra directly to the bladder. Within a few weeks, Ralph returned to his regular daily routine. Eventually, he was able to urinate normally, maintain erections, and have satisfactory intercourse. Yet while his cancer had been caught in time, follow-up consisting of a yearly PSA examination to make sure that his cancer stays cured is mandatory for this patient. Not all patients are so fortunate. Don, a well-respected local banker, had not been seen by a physician in 3 years since his retirement. Then he visited his family practitioner for a checkup. He had minimal prostate symptoms and no pain or urinary tract abnormalities, but at 63 years of age, prostate exam was normal procedure. Digital rectal examination revealed a normal-feeling prostate from that perspective, and only slight asymmetry of the prostate with no discrete nodularity. The routine PSA blood test, however, alerted his family practitioner that something might be amiss. Don's PSA was 49, while normal is 0 to 4. Don was referred to his urologist, and unfortunately ultrasound and needle biopsy of the prostate revealed a medium-grade carcinoma that had metastasized to the local prostate area. Unlike Ralph's contained prostate cancer, Don's prostate was locally invasive and beyond cure by the usual surgical technique. In fact, it was too late for Don. His cancer was inoperable. As a result, he was subjected to a regimen that began with Lupron, a hormone antagonist medication taken for 3 to 4 months, followed by conformal radiation therapy which focuses radiation on a restricted field. And even though his bone scan was negative, Don's future is an unanswered question. The statistics on prostate cancer are awesome. After lung cancer, it is the second most fatal cancer among men, responsible for nearly 40,000 deaths in the United States each year. Another 200,000 new cases are diagnosed annually as well. Its incidence increases with age and is most prevalent between ages 60 and 80. estimates say that 30% of American men over age 50 will have cancer of the prostate. Using those figures, nearly 1 in 10 men will develop prostate cancer, but only 1 in 300, 1.4%, die of it, because after 80, most men will have it, but will not necessarily die of it. Patients want to know if there are ways to protect against prostate cancer, and they often ask about theories they have heard. One holds that sexual activity is a deterrent. While this always had been dismissed as wishful thinking, a recent British study has established some basis for the claim. Other theories speculate on the relationship between diet and cancer. It's all speculation. The answer is that there are no answers. Cancer of the prostate is particularly insidious because it is difficult to detect. It reveals no identifiable signs in its early stages. It might cause obstruction, as other prostate problems do, or it might show nothing at all. By the time cancer does leave clues, serious problems with urination or persistent pain in the hip or back, for example, it may have spread beyond the prostate gland into neighbouring bones, lymph nodes, and even the bloodstream. In years past, more than 90% of prostate cancer cases were inoperable by the time they were first seen by a urologist. Today, however, if prostate cancer is detected early, a majority of cases, 85%, can be cured by radical surgical removal. To help enhance the likelihood of early detection, every man with a family history, either father or first-generation relative, should have an annual PSA blood test and digital rectal prostate examination after the age of 40. If there is no family history of prostate cancer, a yearly prostate digital examination and PSA test is recommended beginning at age 50. Prostate cancer is diagnosed in a series of steps, similar to those in routine prostate exams. First, your medical history is reviewed and a physical examination of your prostate is performed. This is accompanied by a PSA test, which measures the level of prostatic-specific antigen in a blood sample. PSA is a substance produced by both normal and malignant prostate cells. The amount of PSA in the blood increases when prostate cancer has spread, though some men with benign prostatic hyperplasia or prostatitis have an increased level of PSA without cancer. If an abnormality is found during the digital rectal examination, or if an abnormal PSA blood test is noted, your family physician will refer you to a urologist for further testing. The PSA blood test may prove to be this century's most valuable new tool in the early diagnosis of prostate cancer. A second blood test, called a free PSA, has become available as well. It can sometimes give a more accurate reading than the old PSA. The free PSA test helps tell the difference between benign prostate hypertrophy and cancer of the prostate. The free portion of the PSA test is the good PSA, and the complex portion is the bad PSA. Make sure any PSA blood test is taken 3 days after your last ejaculation, as ejaculation can falsely elevate your PSA result. In addition, long-distance bike rides may elevate the test in some instances, owing to the constant pressure on the prostate by the hard, thin bicycle seat. Further tests may include transrectal ultrasonography, ultrasound, which is recommended if an abnormality is found during a digital rectal exam or if you have an abnormal PSA blood test. To determine the presence of cancer, the urologist may also perform a biopsy or the surgical removal of a small sample of tissue for the purpose of examination under a microscope to see if cancer cells exist. To do this, a biopsy needle is inserted through the ultrasound probe to take a sample of any suspicious area. No anaesthetic is required for the biopsy and it is not painful, but some urologists use a local anaesthetic injected directly into the nerve bundles surrounding the prostate and prostate itself prior to the procedure. Should cancer be discovered, a bone scan may detect spread of cancer to your bones. If you are found to have cancer, your urologist will recommend the tests needed in your particular case. When cancer has spread beyond the prostate, only treatment, but no cure, is possible. The options are not pleasant. One is to prescribe radiation therapy or chemotherapy. Another is to administer estrogen to neutralize the dominating effect of testosterone, which fuels the growth of prostatic cancer cells. Another alternative is to remove the testicles, the source of testosterone, in order to slow the growth of cancer cells. Finally, one can choose to do nothing. Because we don't know the natural history of cancer of the prostate, confusion exists as to the best treatment. And the fact that there are many long-term survivors after hormone treatment alone adds to the mysteries surrounding this disease. After any treatment for prostate cancer, you should continue to visit your urologist for regular checkups. Your doctor will examine you at various intervals following your treatment to make sure you are recovering properly and to determine if any future treatment is needed. Most important, during follow-up treatment, discuss any questions you have about your cancer with your urologist.